Filled with Questions is sponsored by the Jar Ministries in Ardmore, Oklahoma, featuring pastors Michael and Carrie Rogers. The views expressed by the hosts are their own, but given through the lens of biblical study and analysis. Listeners are encouraged to faithfully examine the scripture to draw their own conclusions.
Welcome to Filled with Questions, where doubts are just questions that haven't been answered yet. I'm Pastor Michael Rogers.
And I'm Pastor Carrie Rogers.
And we are the lead pastors of the Jar Ministries in Ardmore, Oklahoma.
Our ministry is based on 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we hold these treasures in jars of clay to show that the surpassing glory is from God and not from us. We are the jars, filled by God with His Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. Not so we can be good people, but so that we can empty ourselves for others. We believe the Great Commission calls each of us to be more than disciples. God wants us to be disciple makers.
Filled with Questions is a show that takes the questions of faith today and gives those who are already believers the knowledge and courage to answer questions asked by those who are not yet believers. Every week we pose a new question and answer it from God's Word. Today, we want to just remind you that as we go through all these questions, what we're asking ourselves is, how can we, if we are approached by someone who does not yet believe in Christ, how can we answer the questions that they have? And so the first two questions were, what is faith and what is love? And it may feel like they are building on each other, and to some extent they are, but it's not our intention to have it always build on itself. Having said that, you can always go to our ministry page and catch yourself up. So we encourage you to do that if what we say harkens back to those episodes, and maybe you think you might be able to learn something if you go back to those and you missed them the first time. Mm-hmm. So today we are talking about what is sin. Mm-hmm. And it's a word that we don't like to use very much today, to be honest.
No, it's not. So we're going to tackle this topic of sin. What is it? Why are we so afraid to use that word, and how do we explain it to others? So first off, let's talk about what sin is. Mm-hmm. You know, many already believers probably associate sin with the commission of various wrong deeds. In other words, it's all about what you do.
Right.
It's all about self-performance. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's no doubt that it's important that we follow God's laws, right? Sins are breaking the law of God. But here's the thing, sin is so much more than that.
Yeah, Jesus really goes into that in the Sermon on the Mount, that it's bigger than just your behavior.
Right. And so, yes, it's important that we follow what God says. But remember that sin really is, it's that which is contrary to God. In other words, it stands against God. And here's the thing about that. Sin is like a disease that spreads into the heart and the mind and the soul.
Yeah.
And it causes you, we always talk about this at the Jar, sin is what causes you to hurt yourself mm-hmm. and to hurt others. And if we allow ourselves to be corrupted and left unchecked, it will destroy you from the inside out.
Right.
And the effects of sin are things like enslavement, denial, self-deceit, insensitivity, self-centeredness, and restlessness. And
it's all those things in your soul that actually start to kind of corrupt you and bleed you into things that you wouldn't normally do.
Yeah.
Most of us want to be good people, but we find ourselves in a place where we're willing to do things we wouldn't have done before.
Well, and I think a lot of times too, when people talk about the word sin, they think of these horrific things like murder.
Yes.
And stealing and all, and yes, those are all sin, but selfishness, being so self-centered that you're not thinking about anyone else is sin.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you all, but I do that probably almost every day. You know, it's easy to fall into that. It's easy to be self-centered to the point that we're not thinking about other people. Simply put, God hates sin.
Yeah.
Why? Because it destroys the very people that He loves.
That's right. So the way to put that all together is sin, like you said, sin hurts me, sin hurts the person that I'm dealing with, and sin hurts my relationship with God. Mm-hmm. So when God says, do not lie, He tells us because He knows that if I lie, then the person that I lied to is now operating on wrong circumstances. They don't know the truth of what's happening. So they are hurt. I'm also hurt because it always gets found out. And when it does, I lose my trustworthiness. They no longer trust me. But that also breaks God's heart, because now I've hurt them and I've hurt myself, and it hurts him to see us hurting.
That's right.
And that is what sin does to us.
Well, the Bible speaks of people who have not come to Jesus as slaves to sin. I thought I would briefly talk about how God describes sin from the very beginning, because what's he think of it?
Right.
And so in Genesis chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, it's the story of Cain and Abel.
Yeah.
Right, the brother killing the brother. It's the first time that murder is recorded, right, in the scriptures. And the Lord asks Cain, starting in verse 6, "Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out." And here's what he says: "Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master."
Wow.
So in other words, sin is a creature all in itself.
Yeah.
And it's waiting, and it's ready to pounce. It's crouching. And sin really, it begins in the mind and the heart, or both. And it actually comes from temptations that are not from God.
Yes.
And James says James chapter 1, verses 14, James says, "Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions."
Yes.
"And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death." And that death, that word death there, I think encompasses all of the words that I mentioned earlier.
Oh, yes.
Denial, self-deceit, insensitivity. Self-centeredness, restlessness, all of those things.
In scripture, most of the time, death refers to a separation. And so it can be a spiritual separation, but it can also be a relational separation or a physical separation. So physical death, you're separated from your body. Relational death, you're separated from the people that you love or from God. Mm-hmm. And spiritual death, you and God are not on the same page. He can't be in your presence, so to speak, because you have put yourself in a position where you're at odds with him. It's really important for us to understand exactly where it came from. I heard John Piper one time talk about it as desiring after something that's not God. So that takes us back to Adam and Eve, doesn't it?
Correct. Yeah. That's where sin comes from. You know, the Bible teaches us that this disease of sin,
right,
entered the human race through our original father and mother, Adam and Eve. But really, let's talk about the truth. It begins with this creature called Satan, who tempted Adam and Eve. They were both there in the garden. It wasn't just Eve.
That's right.
Adam and Eve in the garden to disobey God. So right in that moment, he tempted Adam and Eve, right?
Yeah.
And then out of their desires that rooted in the heart and in the mind and the soul,
right,
then they chose to disobey God. And after that, the entire human race then was corrupted by sin. And, you know, I've heard people say, well, if God's the creator of all things, did he create sin? And my answer to that is no. I feel like the one who created sin was Satan himself.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Just recognize we have talked sometimes about the sovereignty of God and the free will of man, and how the sovereignty of God does not become less just because he gave us the ability to choose. Just as a parent, you don't become less of a parent when you're at a point where you let your child make some decisions in their lives. You're still in control, but you're doing so in a way that helps them grow. And one of the things that we had to know is if we could stay true to him. And so he gave us this opportunity to decide whether to be true to him or not. And Eve desired after something that was not God. The knowledge of good and evil, the fruit of that tree, is a symbol. Whether it's real, whether it was exact or not, it's a symbol for sure of what it means for us to try to run our own lives.
That's right, right. And God's not going to tempt us to do something that goes against him.
Right.
He's not going to do that.
Right.
And here's the other thing. But God knew.
Yeah.
He knew that that's all of us who came after Adam and Eve, would need a way to be forgiven from that sin, that disease, so that it wouldn't destroy us. And that is Jesus. And we're going to talk about that more in the second half.
Right.
But before we get to that, I just want to briefly answer the question of why do we play down sin?
That's good.
a lot of times in our culture, especially, we say instead of using the word sin, we use words like faults or shortcomings or hang-ups or problems, slip-ups, right? But we simply, because we just don't like to use that word sin, we don't want to be labeled a sinner. And why is that? There's a couple reasons. And one that comes to mind is that sin has religious overtones.
Yes, that's right.
You know, the illusion of what we call sinless performance. You may have grown up in the church or went to church when you were a child, and it was drilled into you that you had to be perfect, that you had to have this illusion of being sinless in this performance. And we're here to tell you that that is not what being free from sin is. In other words, James tells us in James chapter 3, verse 2, he tells us that our confidence, which is joy, should be in the forgiveness and righteousness, which means made right, we have in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and remember, that's the same James who said earlier where sin comes from.
That's right.
And so this is that kind of pulls it full circle for us.
So many people don't like to think of the possibility of sin. Why? Because it's simply easier to talk about a failure than it is a sin.
Yeah, because it doesn't have that weight, does it?
Another reason that in our culture, calling a thing a sin can sometimes people think it's taking matters a little too far,
right?
You're being condescending, you're being judgmental. But here's the thing, if we do away with God and with the truth and morality, then what happens culturally is there's no absolute standard by which things can be judged.
Yeah, and you can see that in the world today where people are really not sure. I mean, some of the things that we might consider obvious and basic are now being questioned as whether they're true for everyone. And that's simply because we've unmoored ourselves from any kind of absolute truth. We don't know what truth is anymore. So we're making it up as we go. And that can be a really scary place to be.
It opens up the door to last sins to become the norm.
And
that leads us to a very slippery slope. You know, if you just don't want to, you don't want to wish that on anybody. And I think the hardest part of saying we sin is having to admit it.
If you know, we don't call it to someone else, then we don't have to admit it ourselves.
I mean, and we all fall short, even the best of us. No one is perfect. No one is able to do everything right all the time. And that's from little sins such as selfishness all the way to the big sins of murder and, you know, all of those other things. And so we're going to talk about what Jesus says about that. God gives us a radical solution to the problem of sin.
And that's what we should, as already believers, we should always, when someone asks us about sin, we should always use that as an opportunity to talk about Jesus. And that's what we're going to do in the second half.
Pastors Michael and Carrie Rogers lead a new expression of the church every Sunday at 4 p.m. in Ardmore, Oklahoma. The Jar is modeled after 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we hold these treasures in jars of clay to show that the surpassing glory is from God and not from us. We believe God fills us with His Spirit, not so that we can be good people, but so that we can be emptied for the people around us. If you would like to support our ministry, please find the Jar Ministries on the ministry support page at WilkinsRadio.com.
All right, so the first half of our show tonight, we just talked about what you might do to answer a not-yet believer when they ask you, what is the thing about sin? And the most clear and concise answer you can give is sin is something that God believes hurts you, hurts the people around you, and hurts your relationship with Him. And so that's important for us to have that kernel right there. But now we need to talk about how that conversation leads us into an even better conversation.
That's right. So we ended the first half talking about how the hardest part of saying we sin is admitting it, right? We all fall short, even the best of us, even good people. No one is perfect. No one is able to do everything right all the time. And that's from a little sin to a big sin.
That's right.
They're all sin, and they're all sin is, you know, not doing it God's way.
Right, right.
And so what do we do with that? You know, you're explaining to somebody what that word means. What do we do with that? And the answer is Jesus.
Yeah,
He gives us a radical solution to the problem of sin. In the scriptures, Jesus talks about basically in order to get rid of this disease called sin, he says to tear your eye out and cut your hand off rather than allow him to cause you to stumble. And it sounds extreme.
Jesus is always subtle, right? We call it salty Jesus.
Salty Jesus. And it sounds extreme. But think of it in this way. We talked about how sin is like a cancer.
Right.
You know, it starts in the mind, in the heart, from an outside influence or something that you may desire. And then it turns into something that goes against what God says or against what he would want for you, what's best for you. And so we kind of compared it to cancer. And when you find out that you have a diagnosis of cancer, cancer can be so vile and so dangerous and can be wicked. I've seen it my other profession, and I've seen how cancer can just be flat out evil and wicked in a lot of ways. And right. So Jesus is basically saying, look, sin is serious business.
Yeah. Yeah.
That if it's the most precious thing you have that causes you to sin, get rid of it.
Right.
Just totally get rid of it and do it with a vengeance, right?
Right.
Radically deal with your sin.
Right.
Deal radically with what causes you to sin. Don't make excuses for your sin. And the scripture is very clear on how to deal with sin.
Yeah, I think that a lot of times when we're starting to have this conversation, we immediately start thinking of behavior modification. We're wondering, okay, so how do I act better? How do I think better? How do I do things better? And to some extent, that's good. That's true. But actually, with Jesus, you already are better than that. What he does for us, theologians say there are two kinds of things to think about when it comes to sin. There's the acts that you commit, and then there's the nature that we have that leads us to do that. And what Jesus does is take care of both. He not only forgives us for the acts of sin, but he also replaces our sin nature. And that's why Paul calls us a new creation.
That's
and
right.
So now we are different. We don't have to act different. We are different. And we have to learn how to own that and be a part of that.
Well, you know, at the beginning we said, Jesus basically says, those of us who continue to sin, even though we know it's wrong, we are a slave to sin.
Right.
Right. And so with Jesus, we are no longer slaves to that sin.
Yeah.
He frees us from that. And in Romans chapter 13, 14, it says, instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. And remember what we said, it starts with the mind. It starts with the heart.
Right.
You know, just because you're tempted doesn't mean then you have to go further, like James said. Yeah. And do the sinful act.
And that's why you hear Jesus saying things like, set your heart on things above, because where your treasure is, there your heart is also. So you set your mind on the things that are important, and all of a sudden you don't have to worry about that. Paul says, whatever is pure, whatever is noble, whatever is just, think on these things. God says in the Old Testament, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And what we're trying to do is learn how to think and speak and act and smell like Jesus if we can. And the way we do that is not by focusing on our sin, but by focusing on our Savior.
Right. So like we said before, we have to take whatever steps are necessary in order to avoid sin. And that doesn't mean, don't misunderstand us here. Mm-hmm. We're not saying you have to be perfect.
Right.
No one is perfect. Remember, that comes from a religious viewpoint.
Right.
It's not about perfection. It's about having a standard, a way of living that is like Christ, and setting our minds on that. And the passage that I think we want to talk about the most tonight is 1 John 1, 5 through 10.
I love 1 John.
So I'm going to read it for you. It's the beginning of verse 5. It says, this is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we're lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But, and I always love how scripture has a but in it.
It's always
and
it's something a big like one. That. That's right.
But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And at the jar, when we say all means all.
Yeah.
So if we claim we have no sin, We are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts.
Let me tell you, First John is near and dear to me because it's how God brought me to Jesus in the most profound way.
Yeah.
And as I've read through this, you know, we talk about being the light of the world and all that, and sometimes we can get confused what John's talking about here. He's saying God is light. In other words, what does light do? It reveals everything.
Mm-hmm.
God is so good that he can reveal everything about himself, and there's nothing to be ashamed of. And so what John is saying, what he's not saying here is live perfect and God will love you. What he's saying is, if you live under this and you confess your sins and you are willing to say, God, I want to do better. To repent means to rethink. I'm rethinking my life. I want to get better. Then you can be in the light as he is in the light in this way. There's nothing you can't share, because anything that you share only points to the grace of Jesus Christ. If it's good, it's the grace that gave you that gift. If it's bad, it's the grace that saved you from that bad.
Well, and just think about the correlation there with what I shared at the beginning in the first half about from the very beginning, God basically tells us in Genesis chapter 4,
yes,
the answer. He says to Cain, do what is right.
Yeah.
Do what is right. And then take over. Don't let sin. You control sin. Don't let sin control you.
Right.
Right. So the first step in doing that, you know, whatever your pet sin is, whether it's anger, gossiping, backbiting, cheating, selfishness, greed, whatever it is, start first. The first step in dealing with your sin is to repent, like you said.
Yeah.
And when I hear the word repent, I always think, just be honest, tell God and tell yourself the truth.
Yes.
Right? Because like we said earlier, sometimes the hardest thing is just admitting that there's something in our life that we need to do better.
Right.
That is a sin. We need to call it what it is. Don't give it another name like the culture does. Call it out for what it is. Be honest with God. Tell him about it. Right? And then from there, what's the scripture say in 1 John?
Yeah.
Jesus is going to forgive you. He's going to cover that sin.
Yeah.
And because it's the truth.
Yeah. The word that is most often used to represent sin means to miss the mark, like you shot an arrow and you missed the target. And so when I say that I have sinned, it is a religious term because it references that I have gone against God's will.
Mm-hmm.
I have missed the mark. I had a target. I wanted to be Christ-like, and I have missed the mark. But this passage in 1 John tells us that perfection is not what we're going for. It's becoming a whole new creature and recognizing who we are now. So in Galatians, there's a lot of talk about walking in the Spirit. In Romans, there's a lot of talk about walking in the Spirit. In Colossians, we're talking about clothing ourselves, but it all comes from the Spirit. And so every time we turn around, there is a power available to us that can help us do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Holy Spirit.
That's right. And so if you're willing today, right now, to humble yourself before God and turn away from whatever that sin is, big or small, God will give you the power to forsake it through his Holy Spirit. He will give you the power to avoid the sin. He will give you the strength to say no to that sin, which means walking away from the temptation that leads you to that sinful act.
Yes.
And so if you do your part, then it says here in 1 John chapter 1, God's going to do his part. And you know what his part is? It's simple.
Cleansing.
He is faithful.
Faithful, yeah.
He is faithful and just
yeah.
to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. In other words, we do our part by saying, God, I want you to come alongside me and help me with this sin. And in turn, God comes back and says, of course I will.
Yes.
Because I am faithful and I am just to forgive. And I am here and I'm going to give you the gift of my Spirit, right? The gift of the Holy Spirit that's going to strengthen you and empower you along that walk. And yeah, you may mess up as you're figuring it out.
Right.
But I am, once again, faithful and just to forgive.
That's right. So this is just the recap. Sin means I hurt myself and I hurt the people around me and I hurt my relationship with God. But God loves having relationship with us so much that he gave us Jesus so that he could restore that relationship by forgiving us and cleansing us and setting us back on our feet and patting our little diaper at the bottom and saying, you can still walk, you can do it. And we hope that you heard this message of hope and that you can share this message of hope with someone else today.
If you enjoy the teaching of Filled with Questions, check out Pastor Michael's series, Finding Hope, Faith for the Frustrated. The first volume, Rethink, explores what those of us frustrated with today's church must do to become part of the solution. Volume 2, Follow, explores the gospel of Jesus Christ from the perspective of a disciple during the life of Jesus. Rethink and Follow are published by Words Matter Publishing and can be found at wordsmatterpublishing.com, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and bookstores everywhere. For information, visit his website, michaelsrogers.com. That's michaelsrogers.com.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. We encourage you to send new and follow-up questions to us at our email address, questions@thejarministries.net. That's ministries with an S, questions@thejarministries.net. We'll do our best to answer them and, when appropriate, share those answers on a future episode. And once again, thank you for listening to Filled with Questions, sponsored by the Jar Ministries in Ardmore, Oklahoma, featuring Pastors Michael and Carrie Rogers.